been pretty good service so far. Maybe we should just go home. I'm going to introduce the second topic of our series today, and then we'll get into more meat next week on it. We're in 1 John, the book of 1 John, near Revelation, the back of your Bible, the 1 John. This is John, the gospel writer. He's old. He's pretty old in age, and he's writing back to some of the churches that he is kind of the father of and really kind of the grandfather of. But he oversees certain churches there in Asia, and maybe particularly in Revelation, you read about those seven churches there, Laodicea, Hierapolis, and in that area. He was known as the father of those churches. And so when he made a trip back, the people from all those cities gathered in one place and came to hear their father, John, that disciple that Jesus loved, that one that was in his bosom at the Last Supper. That if I say if Jesus had a best friend, it would have been John. That's probably not accurate, but that's how I look at it. They were close, and he oversaw some churches, and they loved him like a father. And so he's writing this letter, 1 John, to the churches and to us. And we've been talking about, in this series, we're talking about if we as a church, as a body of believers, and you and I, if we're going to paint the picture of Jesus to our society, to our world, if we are going to accurately paint the picture of Jesus, we're going to work from a master. And I brought in some wood. These are the masters. These are the master color samples of a certain color called toasted pecan. And everything we make, if you make, if you fill out an order for someone and you're making something toasted pecan, it has to match these masters. And so if you and I are going to paint the picture of Jesus, it's going to need to match the master. It's going to paint exactly like it should be, as best as we can. We have something to work against. And so today, it begins the second part of that series, and it's painting with the specific color of Jesus, how we portray Jesus to this community. Just listen, just stop and listen just for a second. And I want to read a portion of Scripture. I'm not going to tell you where it's from. I'll tell you later. Listen to this Scripture. Children, and that's how John talked to his churches. He talked to them. He was like this loving father. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. So he tells the children, his followers in these churches, that there were people in his churches that were following with him. They were with the apostles. They were following. They were with the disciples. They were with the church at large. In that group, there were people, and they left the group. At some point, they decided to go out on their own, and they began teaching and sharing and witnessing and whatever you want to call it. But they went out and formed their own ministries. But they came from here. They came from here. It was like they were part of our congregation, and they were here, and they were with us, and we knew them, and we knew them well, and they decided, hey, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to start my own ministry, and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to share with people. And so they went out, and he says, they went out from us that that it would be known, that there would be a difference, that it could be plain that they went out from us, but they're not of us. And he says, as a matter of fact, they're antichrists. Not the antichrist, but they have a spirit of antichrist. Now, that's pretty harsh. That's pretty direct. That's a pretty big statement. 1 John chapter 4, follow with me, if you will. 1 John chapter 4, here's another side to that as well. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved or beloved ones, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. There you go, again. Now, we just talked about antichrists. Now he's talking about false prophets or false teachers, false proclaimers. And the word for false is pseudo, and we use that word today. It's a pseudo something or another. And so it's a fake, it's an imposter, it's an artificial. It looks like leather, but it's vinyl. I mean, it's pseudo. It's not real. It's false. And these teachers, many have gone out, he says. He says they've gone out into the world, and they're false teachers. They're fake. They're artificial. They're not really preaching the true Jesus and the true gospel. And so if we're going to paint the picture of Jesus and of Christianity in a real way, we have to recognize this. We have to be aware of this. And somehow, some way, with all the antichrists and all the false teachers out in our world today, you and I want to paint the picture with the real color. We want the picture to look like the Master. We have to be aware of this. That's our topic today. If we're going to paint the picture of Jesus to our society and to our community, we have to paint with the real picture and the real colors of Jesus that match the Master, knowing that there are a ton of people out there preaching a similar but false gospel and false Jesus. That's the truth. If you witness at all today, if you share your faith at all today, if you get in any kind of a religious conversation today with young people, people on the internet, people all over, what are they going to ask you? How do you know you're right? How do you know your religion's the right one? Why are there so many denominations? Why are there hundreds of denominations? Well, this church preaches this and this church preaches that about Jesus. They're different. Why? Well, how about these religions? Is Islam, is that false? Is that wrong? They have Jesus in their doctrine. They talk about Jesus. Catholics talk about Jesus. They have a lot of different things. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, they all talk about Jesus, and they all kind of carry a portion of the Bible. At least in part, they have, at least they started there with the Bible, and then they either rewrote it or they added other things to it. Why? If you get in any conversation out there, they're going to ask you, how do you know you're right? How do you know you have the right one? That's what John's writing about. That's what John's telling us. That's what he wants to help us with. That's what John, this grandfather to these churches, is saying, oh, my children, let me help you. Let me help you paint the right picture of Jesus. Let me help you with this. It's actually a beautiful thing. It's one you and I really can't dodge. It's one you and I really can't get around. It's one you and I really can't say, well, you know what, Pastor, I'm going to let you worry about that. I got bills to pay and things to do, and I'll be to church and I'll help you with First Fridays, but I'm going to let you worry about that. Here's what most people do when we talk about this subject. They come across with an attitude or a disposition, and they may say, I'm going to let that up to you. I can't worry about that. I'm not going to be moved from what I believe. And I'm sure not going to argue with people about it. So it's not on my plate. That one's not for me. I'm not about to start bickering or combating with other religions and people. So that one's on you, Pastor Terry. Well, let me give you a different side to this, because he tells us to. He tells us to put this on our plate. Some of you, when it comes to this topic, some of you would be inclined to accept any person that comes to you talking about Jesus and carrying a Bible. If they come to your house, they come to your door, you find them somewhere, you're out at the coffee shop, they come in here, good morning, and they begin to talk something about Jesus and they have a Bible in their hand, you will accept them. That's good. They have Jesus, they have a Bible. What more do you want? You're just open-armed with anybody who wears a Jesus pin and has a book in their hand. Because you're not God. Who are you to judge them, right? Okay. Now, some people on the other side of this take a different approach, and they close the doors, and they go, I don't trust anybody. I mean, and I think we're the ones on the right track here, and I really don't trust very many people at all. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Small is the gate. I think we're the right church. I think we're the right people, and I don't trust anybody. And so your gate is very narrow. It's very small. Others of you are just like this. Others of you don't worry about it. It's the pastor's job. It's the board's job. They'll keep us, protect us. And then others of you will say, I'm just going to love everybody and let God sort that mess out. It's way too big for me. There's way too many denominations. There's way too many religions. I'm just going to let God take care of all that. And I'm just going to love everybody. So as we look at this topic, and I think this is so relevant today for young people, teenagers, for parents raising kids up, your kids are going to ask these questions. How do you know you have the right religion? How do you know you have Jesus right? This is so relevant. Well, let me share this with you. If you're of the type that says, look, I'm just going to love everybody and let God deal with this, figure this out, he's already got it figured out. He's not up there scratching his head going, well, let's see, I wonder which way they're going to go. Well, I don't know. I hope that he's already knows exactly who are his and whose aren't his. He doesn't have to figure anything out. He's written this letter to us for us to figure it out. He's written it for us, and he says quite clearly here, in chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 26, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. So there are antichrists and false prophets, and the whole idea is to deceive and to sway you over to their thinking. And they're pretty good at it. I mean, just by the volume of information on the internet, that's enough to confuse anyone. And this whole topic is confusing. It's bothersome. It's troubling. It's divisive. I mean, look at how many denominations there are. Look at how many religions there are. Look at how many world religions or cults. I mean, it's enough. Just the volume is confusing and troubling, and I just hate to even mess with it, except for the fact that the Bible tells me to, that the Bible gives me careful instruction and caution about it and says, don't be deceived. Let me ask you a question. I mean, we have new people here today, visitors here today. How are you going to know I'm not leading you down the wrong path? I mean, let's just put it right here on me. Who am I? How are you going to know? I'm not one. How are you going to know? You turn on your television set and you watch some preacher. I mean, how are you going to know? You don't know him. You don't live next door to him. How are you going to know? If you say, I'm not going to be deceived. I know what I believe. I'm too smart for that. That's for real gullible, vulnerable, weak-minded people. They'll get deceived. Man, I got to tell you, that's not true. There's a deception plan that fits you. It's just your size. It's just your shape, wherever you are. I mean, it's deception. So, I mean, it's not like you're going to see it coming. It's deception. It's tricky. It's false. It's sneaky. It slides itself in. You don't realize it until you go, oh, wow, look. I think I understand that. I'm getting that. Wow, that makes sense to me. Well, I've never heard it. Well, okay. I mean, there's a deception that fits you perfectly. We can't ignore this. That's the problem. And it's such a bothersome message. This is not a fun message to preach. I'm going to tell you, I'm not having fun here. I love to preach, but this is not the funnest thing I want to preach about, all right? Except that the Bible tells us to do it. You got to know this stuff. And the Bible's not going to be over our head. He's not going to go, well, look, you got to go to Bible college, get a master's and then a doctorate because you got to know this and you got to read in the fine print. That's unreasonable. So the Bible's not going to do that to us. He's going to give us some major stepping stones, a few big rocks to grab a hold of to say, here's how you can stay on track. Paint the right picture of Jesus. Not be deceived. Know that the Jesus you're following, the Jesus you're proclaiming, is the right one. This is right. Now, come back to John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you're from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They're from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So I think, number one, that it's somewhat comforting to us that even early on, late first century, that there were already many, many teachers out there taking the teaching about Jesus and taking it their own distorted kind of way. And he says it's the spirit of Antichrist. He says there's many already out there, and I want to talk to you about it. He's aware of it. Certainly today there are many spirits out there. And he says for us to test them. Test the spirits, whether they're from God. Because many are false, he says. I have a spirit in me. It's the spirit of God, or it's the spirit of me, or the spirit of the world. And you are asked and told to test the Spirit. So use me as your guinea pig. What spirit is speaking from me, is speaking through me? Is it the Spirit of God? Or is it just me, my sinful spirit, or spirit from the world? See, the world will listen to him if it's the spirit of the world or the spirit of Antichrist. So I think it's comforting that right away the Bible, it helps us with this. It says, look, I know what you're facing. I know there's a ton of denominations, religions, cults. I know that it's full of them. It's like going to the grocery store. It's like going to the ice cream parlor. Man, 33 flavors. Which one do you want? But notice what he says in verse 1, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Don't believe every spirit. Don't believe everyone. So if you're of the type, you're open-armed and you're like, well, I heard him say Jesus. And I know they got some kind of a Bible there and maybe a few books to go with it. So they must be all right. I mean, come on. Don't believe every spirit. That's the first thing he says. Beloved, don't believe every spirit. So that can't be your option. But test the spirits to see whether they're from God. Now, how do we do that? How are we going to test the spirits? He's going to tell us. And it's not going to be in the fine print and you're going to have to learn Greek and you're going to have to do this. It's not that way at all. But we are, and we are told to, test the spirits. Whoever you're listening to, whoever you're reading, whoever you're watching on TV, however you were raised, whatever church you were raised in, whatever grandma taught you, whatever that brilliant man on TV with all those letters after his name, doctor, 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 such and such, whoever it is, test the spirits. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. First thing he says, by this you know the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So the first test, the first thing we're going to test, we're going to talk about, is who Jesus is. It's the person of Jesus. And you read that and you go, well, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. What's that mean? Of course he came in the flesh. But if you look back at chapter 2, verse 22, it says, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. So the first person, the first part of the test, if you're a young person here today, you're a teenager or a middle schooler or a college student, if you're wondering, how do you know your Jesus is the right one? Well, this is what I know, is that the Bible tells me the first part of testing is to see whose Jesus we're talking about. And you ask, you simply ask the question, who is Jesus? Is he the Christ? Is he the Son of God? And did he, notice it said, did he come in the flesh? He's not asking, was he born? Was this person born and then God blessed him? It says that this Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and he came from heaven to us and took on flesh. The Bible says he's the only Son of God. He's the only Christ. There's not other lords. There's not other Christ. It's not like God was a father and he gave birth to all these other little lords and Jesus was one of them. The Bible says he's the only Son of God. He's the only one. Who is your Jesus? Is he God in the flesh? He came in the flesh. That's a test. Now it says here in chapter 2, listen to this. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So understand in our Bible that the Son and the Father are one and the same, two parts of the same. If you don't confess the Son, you don't get the Father. And if you confess the Son, you get the Father. You can't say, I don't believe in Jesus so much. He was a good man or a teacher, but I do believe in God. I mean, I know there's a God. You don't work that way. They're the same. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Let me show you. And it's all through the Scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven. Jesus created all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. Jesus created them all. All things were created through Him and for Him. He's before all things. In Him, all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So God is represented by the image Jesus. And all the fullness of God is in Jesus. So it's God, the invisible Spirit, and His image that's kind of cast on the wall. It's Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. You can't see God, but there's an image of Him cast in Jesus, and all the fullness, every bit of God is in that image, Jesus, and He came to earth. He's the Christ, the only Son, the only image of God, and He created everything, and everything was created by Him and through Him and for Him, and it all glorifies Him. And you can't have the Father without His image, but if you confess the image, you get the Father. That's our Jesus. And if anybody has any other thought about who Jesus is, it's not that, well, they're okay, they're nice people. Well, it's they're antichrist. They're false, pseudo-teachers. That's what the Bible says. Not me, you read it. So, you start by testing the spirits with the very simple question, who is your Jesus? Who is your Jesus? We know there are many Jesuses running around these buildings throughout the week. And there are many teachers teaching many Jesuses. And that's the truth. Who is your Jesus? And He says, don't believe them all. Ask the first question, who is your Jesus? And you'll get a wide variety of answers. But know this. And did you catch, and I hope you caught this. He says if they don't, they're the spirit of Antichrist. They're not the Antichrist, they're the spirit. Did you notice, have you ever asked yourself, why isn't it anti-Jesus? It's anti-Jesus. That's the spirit of anti-Jesus. You know, it's Antichrist. Because they all knew Jesus was a person. See, back then in the first century, you didn't have to convince somebody Jesus really lived. Because they knew Jesus lived. Everybody heard the story. Everybody saw it. There was somebody that was there. There was no doubt, no question, and there's not really today with science and technology. You're only really a pretty far out moron if you say, Jesus, this person didn't really exist. Even the unbelievers say, no, you're crazy. Jesus did exist. This person that they're talking about, He existed. So it's not anti-Jesus. It's Antichrist. They know there's Jesus. Some of them saw Him. So is he the Christ? Is he the Son? Is he the image of the invisible God? Is he the realization, the physical image of the invisible God? And those two are, you can't have one. Is that him? They're anti-Christ, not anti-Jesus. And that's part of the problem, because there are many Jesuses running around here today. Many Jesuses in our country and around the world today. Jesus being talked about everywhere. T-shirts everywhere. Hats everywhere. Buttons everywhere. Who is your Jesus? Test the Spirit. Test it. Find out. You want to paint the picture, right? We want to paint the picture. We want to hold it up against the Master. The Bible already knows there's many Jesuses being taught. And here's the truth. Here's the truth. Since he says very clearly here, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued. They went out from us. And so many of the teachers and the false religions and the cults today, they all started right here. Islam has the Bible. They're okay with the Bible as long as it doesn't cross the Quran. Everybody started here. Mormons have a Bible. They have the Book of Mormon and everything else. And unless it crosses and goes against the Book of Mormon or the Pearl of Great Price, they're okay with the Bible. Jehovah's Witness, they have a Bible. They started out with the Bible. They rewrote it. It's called the New World Translation. They made their changes. They edited it, changed what they didn't like. But they all start out here. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Here's the tricky part for me and you. If they went out from us, they're very familiar with what we're talking about. They use the same language we use. They talk about Jesus. They carry a leather-bound book and maybe a couple others. So it's not like we're just weird to them. They know us well. When they come to talk to us, if they want to talk to someone about it, they know this language really well. They can use the same big Christianese words that you use. Repent, predestinate. They can use all the right words because they went out from us. They're familiar with us, well acquainted with our language, with our thoughts, even with our doctrines. So it is pretty powerful. It is pretty persuasive if you're not careful. They have refutations for what we believe because they know what we teach. So you and I have to be familiar. We have to be very familiar with them and with our Jesus. What Jesus are you talking about? Don't let them get off course. Don't let them go on to some other topic. You'd better ask me, who's my Jesus? I'll be quite honest with you. You better ask me sometime. You better say, Terry, who is Jesus? You want to know, I'm preaching to you the Jesus of the Bible. And I am. I'm preaching to you the Jesus that he's talking about. I'm just preaching the Bible to you. Why do I open the Bible and just, Terry, get out of the Bible? Tell me a cool story. Tell me a song. Tell me something fun. Make a joke. Do something, Terry, because you're in the Bible and it's just there, 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 there. That's right. That's right. Because that's the only thing that mounts to a hill of beans to you, is what's in the Master. I mean, I can paint this. I can paint this for someone and go, here's toasted pecan. But I'll tell you what, I kind of changed it up a little bit because this was kind of dull, and I thought I'd add a little more red to it because it looks better, don't you think? And they go, sorry, Terry, it doesn't match my cabinets. It doesn't match. We don't have the right and the liberty to say, I think I'm going to add a little red to that because I don't like that brown like that. And they do all the time. So you've got to ask yourself, what's the Master saying? Terry is preaching the Bible to us. Jesus, the only Son of God, is the only one able and capable of dying on the cross for your sins. The only real image of the invisible God, He's the only one that could die for our sins. He's the one talked about in here. And the Bible is so crystal clear with us. Young people, young parents, teenagers, old people, young. The Bible knows. And it's always been this way. There's a thousand religions. There's a thousand teachings about Jesus out there. Always has been. Test them. First question you're asking, who is Jesus? Don't let them wiggle out of it. There's only one answer. It's this answer right here. Don't add any books to it. Do you have a book? Have you had a new prophet in the last 500 years? Have you had a new revelation from God in the last 1,000 years? Somebody saw an angel. Somebody did this and they added, so we got this book now. Don't add. We'll talk about that next week. But if we're going to paint Jesus, if we're going to paint this picture of faith with the right colors matching the master, we start out with the right headstone, with the right base, and that's Jesus. It's all about Him. He's the preeminent one of all creation. He's Lord of all. Only Son of God. And you and I, in this day and age, with so much going on in the internet and in this world, of so many scientists, so-called, and so many religious scholars, and so much going on, aren't you just thrilled to death that you hold in your hands the Master? Aren't you just thrilled to death you can go home and have six of these on your bookshelf at any time to pick up and go, who is your Jesus? What's your authority? Where are you getting your information? And we're going to do just what John said. Don't believe them all. Don't believe every spirit. Test it. Because there's many, many false teachers. And many with the spirit of anti-Christ floating around our churches and religious world today. Test me. Test me. I'm not beyond it. You better test me. You better know who's talking to you. This is eternity. This is our eternity. Have you ever seen a movie or a show or a commercial where a whole bunch of people went into an art gallery and they were looking at the wall and there was this big painting on the wall and the people are all standing there like this looking at this painting going, because it's so abstract. And they're kind of going, what do you see? What do you see? What are you looking at? And somebody walks up to them and there's just all this abstract, all this kind of color just flowing, and they're just kind of going, what do you see? That's what they're looking at us. They're looking that way at us. They're stepping back and they're looking at you and I, who claim to be a Christian. You go to church. I seen you had something on your t-shirt this week. What do they see? We're going to paint the real picture of Jesus for them? Or are we just going to be like them and go, yeah, it's whatever you want to see. It's whatever you want it to be. It's however you want to make it. It don't matter. That's not what your Bible says. It says test the spirits. Because there's a lot of false teachers and antichrists out there. And he paints with real clearly defined lines and shapes. This is what Jesus looks like. This is who Jesus is. This is my Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for Jesus. You are our Jesus. We believe you are God in the flesh, the only Son of God, over all creation, creator of all things, the image, the realization of the invisible God. We believe in you. We want to adore you and worship you and love you and paint your picture to our communities and our families and our friends. So Lord, help us. May your Spirit help us, lead us. Give us grace to stand distinct. Not be condemning, but be distinct, be clear. Be clear about our Jesus. Lord, lead us and teach us, I pray. And we will honor you, the only God, the only Son, the only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Have a great day.